Hello and welcome to our latest podcast series called Official Business, where myself, Vicky Highton, the founder of the Female Coaching Network, and Liliana Hora, the Women in Sport Manager at Athletics Ireland, interview a number of technical officials to not only learn about their own journey, but their experience throughout the world of officiating in track and field.
A big welcome to Claudia Schneck, who is our guest today. Claudia is an international technical official and an international referee from Brazil. She is, in fact, the only female international technical official in South America. Claudia is also a former athlete who competed for Brazil and is an advocate for female athletes moving into officiating roles following their retirement. So thank you so much, Claudia. We hope that this podcast will go far and wild, but the big question that we're asking is, why was it so important for you to become a technical official after you retired from athletics?
So first of all, thank you for the invitation, and it's a pleasure for me to talk about athletics. Well, since I started athletics, even I was a child, at the high of my 8 or 9 years old, I was sure that athletics would be part of my entire life. But when I entered college, I took over 2 or 3 universities I entered. I realized that I would need to choose between training competitive or attending colleges. I didn't want to leave athletics, but training periods need to be shorter and on fewer days of the week. In the first year of college, and on that time, physiotherapy in the afternoon and law in the night, in the evening, I still managed to participate in some competitions, but as a form of leisure and no longer competitively. Being part of athletics family is invigorating for me. But in the second year of college, I really already chosen to remain only the physiotherapy course, and I would no longer be able to train. I only participate in a few events where I was then invited to take the athletics refereeing course. And for me, it's wonderful because in this way, this was the opportunity I had to stay alive in the sport I've always loved.
That's amazing. It's very interesting to note that you had so much on your plate and you had so many difficult decisions to make along the way. So it's kind of hard to believe that after all of those decisions that you had to make, that yet you're the only female technical official in South America. What is that like for you? Do you feel that's an honor? And why do you think there are so many few women at the level that you're at?
Well, being unique doesn't make me the best. Although we are few in South America, we have just 2 men and 1 woman. I see that the representation of all areas that make up world athletics needs to be more equitable. I understand that the area where the sport is most representative, and I'm talking about both in terms of the number of competitions and the public, it's very important for one sport, is the area that has the most opportunities to prepare its officials. I have seen an important movement by World Athletics in the search for greater representation of officials in all areas. I know it will be a big challenge how to make it possible for all approved officials to participate in international events. In addition to promoting an increase in the number of officials in the 6 different areas, World Athletics has been working strongly in line with the United Nations, and I'm talking about regarding the Sustainable Global Goals number 5. I see actions in favor of women empowerment, and this is in that one of the points that I consider essential to have not only more opportunities, but also greater participation of women as official. In Brazil, our national federation, and I'm talking about Confederação Brasileira de Atletismo, has the Women's Committee that works with the actions of women in athletics. And this committee works with coaches, athletes, officials, leads, and health professionals involved in athletics. And we have ABRAT, which is the Brazilian Association of Athletics Referees. And when I talk about referees, I'm talking about judges, because in Brazil, we use the both using referees. The ABRAT started the Women Referees Movement in tune with the Confederação Brasileira de Atletismo, with Atletismo Sudamericano, and World Athletics. The Women Referees Movement began with the theme of tackling abuse and harassment in all forms, and the movement took shape in the different themes that involve refereeing. In 2021, ABRAT promoted the first Brazilian meeting of women athletics referees, and one of the topics discussed pointed out that a large portion of women's referees would like to advance in the officiating career, and the possible obstacles that could make it difficult to achieve this progression were also raised. Well, factors such as lack of courses, personal issues, lack of vacancies, lack of target preparation, lack of resources, lack of time, lack of public policies, and lack of opportunity to act in big events were pointed out. And we have this report available inside our website, the ABRAT website. Unfortunately, these reports are only in Portuguese, as we don't have resources for translation yet. We need to work on that. These are some of the points that I see as to why there are fewer women acting as referee than men. But if we consider the percentages of men and women in some functions within athletics, we see that in Brazil, and I'm talking the numbers inside Brazil, of the 5,724 active officials that we have here in Brazil, almost 42% are women. An important number if we compare it with the 37% of the athletics with active registration and 20% of the coaches with active registration. So 42, it's not the ideal, but it's a good number nowadays. If we think about meeting the goal of gender equality by 2030, we have a relative short path. And I'm talking about the time until then, but we have a lot of work to reach 50-50.
And Claudia, do you mind if I ask the question you raised about having those women in refereeing and officiating committees? How did those committees start? Was that driven by you or by the referees themselves?
Well, CBAT, the Confederation Committee, the Women Committee, started a movement talking about the abuse and something like that inside the sport and asked us to participate on this moment. And then I'm the president of ABRAT nowadays, and we decided to start a movement with the referees, the women referees. And inside ABRAT, we have this movement that we started at the same movement as World Athletics, as Confederação Brasileira de Atletismo, and we are doing it in a row. It's growing. You can see that you can see now, I have the orange part here, because we are doing the 16 days, the active 16 days against the violence with women and girls. So because of that, this is one movement that these women referees are doing nowadays with ABRAT.
Super initiative, Claudia. It just seems there's some really good, like, proactive work being established there and coming from yourselves and the members. You know, you're not just talking, you're doing action. Are you starting to notice a change on the ground?
Yeah, I think it's very important to make changes and to act. Some people, of course, we need to leave the sport. We need to leave things to try to change things. And when we have our main entity, like World Athletics, doing something so important, it motivates ourselves to do something too.
So Claudia, the next question that I have for you is that, and you mentioned it earlier about, you know, being an official, but you also teach various courses, some of which are around to ensure that there's clarity on some of the rules, and you have to change the rules at each season, and how you measure and standardize how the referees interpret various situations that could happen. How much of a challenge is it for you to standardize those referring decisions? And is there some room left for individual interpretation?
Well, over the years and the different situations that occur during the competitions, many rules were added or changed, either for the need to clarify a rule or allow a rule to be more friendly, I can say friendly, to athletes, or to give more visibility and media to the sport. It's very important. But what we notice is that when a rule is objective, it is easier to apply, and that the applicability of this rule is a standard in the different territories and events. However, when it depends on the subjective of the referee's interpretation, each situation may have different decisions. Unfortunately, some rules, even though they are objective, are being applied in a different ways. For me, this could be better worked out if the rule, which do not apply worldwide, were extinguished or modified. This would provide greater security, not only on its interpretation, but also in its applicability. I can use an example of a rule that does not apply in athletics and that apply without complaint in football. It's the rule to take the t-shirt off when you win the race. Some referees interpreted that the yellow card should be applied, and others who find it more comfortable not to generate controversy, maybe, I don't know, do not apply it. And maybe they are right, I don't know. The referee is not about to look for faults during an event, but when we observe the non-compliance of a rule, we need to apply that the rule says. That's why I say that the idea is not to have a rule that we cannot have an international consensus on application.
And Claudia, my last question before I hand you over to Vicky is that, thankfully, you have a very decorated CV, being involved in many of the Olympic and Paralympic Games. And you're also a classifier for the Paralympic Games. Can you walk us through what a typical day would look like as your duties as an official and a referee, and what it's like to be a part of such an integral event for our sport?
Well, integrate a big events in our sport, in athletics, I think it's the dream of everybody that is involved in athletics. But a typical day on this kind of events can be different. Let me try to explain. Each competition has a particular movement, and I can talk about a festival with children or an international competition. What changes is the referee's routine will depend on different infrastructure conditions, such as metro resources. I can talk about structure of the track, of the field, of the stadium. I can say that the distance from the hotel, travel time, and organization of transport. I can say to the role for food, we have many times sometimes. The team of technical coordination, the distribution of functions, the planning of refereeing team, the planning and orientation of the position of the equipment in the field of play, and the technology involved. I have been to the Olympic and Paralympic Games, where these items were decisive for a more or less complicated road team. But I can say that getting up early, or much earlier, wearing the uniform defined for that session, having a quick breakfast and moving to the stadium on foot or with transport so that you arrive before everyone else. This is essential so that we can prepare the performance site or check that the layout of the area where we if it's everything is okay, if it's in accordance with it was approved before. And carry out a briefing with the team we will be working with. This is the first part of the day. So we need to check all the documentations that we will use on the field of play when we are talking about a part inside the field or on track, but outside the track, like umpires, like track referee or something like that. Well, during the event, we need to welcome the athletes. Ethically and responsibly during all the event period. In the end of that event, we need to check the results and validate them. And we held the briefing with the team of the judges we work with. This is very, very important because if something's not good, we need to change, or if something it was very well, we need to do again in the next session. After this stage, we held a debriefing with the team of the international or national officials. It depends if we are the national person involved or if we are a technical international official. And filled many reports sometimes, wherever necessary. And we need to be available within 30 minutes of the announcement of the official result in case of some protest or some appeal. And at the end of the period, we return to the hotel, sometimes through long or short walks or other through long or short bus journey. And I can say about food, when possible, we have lunch or a snack during the day, and we usually have a meal at the end of the day. And something more, sleeping can be an option, sometimes more hours, sometimes very little. Depending on the function, we have some free times, but in others we have activity during the entire period of the games. This is a little kind of a routine that we have.
So as you've just described there about your experience of a major championship, it is very tiring. As you said, you sometimes don't get enough sleep. And having watched officials from afar, I see how long your days have to be, and quite often under the sun all day long, or even under the really bad weather. With officiating being so demanding and quite often being a very thankless job, do you think that federations or organising committees take into consideration the welfare of officials enough? And if not, what changes do you think need to happen in order to look after all the officials a bit better?
I could say that the compound is not expensive, but this means this is a saying that would help a lot, and that the agreements were fulfilled. Many events do the cost of the competition, including the amount to be paid to the referees and judges, tend to take place in fewer stages and with a great number of events in the same stage. Depending on the planning, or sometimes, unfortunately, the lack of it, some sessions take a long time and it takes much longer than initially scheduled time that we imagine that it needed to be. Remembering that during an event, especially when we have a small number of judges, we don't have time to go out or to go to the bathroom, for example. When an event is held, with fever stage, the suggestions is that there are fever events too, and that there is a strict control over the number of entries, so that there are not too long, and in the case of the field events, and in the case of counting laps of the long track events. Or that more technological resources are used to support the judgment of the events. And I'm talking about, in this case, not the big events, but this is the most common events that we work. Of course, about the sun, about the rain, and about the time that we need to stay inside a session, a stage of a competition, all the judges and the referees know when we do the course that this is a sport outside, that we need to stay on the field of play all the time, the most of the functions. And in events with many stages, some suggestion that I can say is that the ideal for would be the referees and the judges to have a pre-stage, arrive a day earlier to adapt the time zone when applicable, or leave a day later to visit the city. Maybe this is some suggestions. And another point would be the payment of the referees and the judges on the day the event starts, and not many days or sometimes many months after the event takes place. Often the referee or judges needs to pay for his or for her travel, food during the outward and return trip, among other expenses. When the competition involves many referees and judges from outside the city, the fact of receiving per diem allows the referees and judges to also shop in the city, promoting local capital turnover, for example. And in many events, the referee and judges are not covered by health insurance. This is another point. And many times the referee and judge needs to be someone to work in his or her place or take a vacation to be able to act in athletics because there is a lack of public policies, or sometimes we have the legislation, but some jobs doesn't respect this legislation that allows referee and judges to act.
You named quite a few challenges there with officials, of long days, the weather, sometimes not being able to go to the toilet, which is terrible that an official has to be put through that. But what do you think is the most challenging thing or the most demanding aspect of officiating?
Perhaps the most challenging aspect for officiating, like you said, is the daily routine, as being concentrated and taking great responsibility for our decisions requires a great deal of commitment from the human being, the referee or the judge in the case. It's not easy to say that, but to say that the referees and judges are also a human being. I say that because some people forget this.
Yeah, you're not robots.
We love robots when they help us. This technology really helps, but we need to be there, and we are human.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people forget that, definitely. So I have one last question for you then. If you could make one rule change in athletics at the global level, so something that may apply at the Olympics or a World Championships, what would that one rule change be and why?
Just one?
Okay. One or two?
Well, during our routine, some things we try to apply and something is not so objective. Because of that, I think it's more important to change. If I could, I would remove the reference about the term the impulsion in throwing events from the rule that allows touching the back of the circle during the first turn. Since many referees understand that the impulsion occurs, but the analysis of some is that it would not be an advantage, this impulse for the athlete. So they have the impulsion. The rules say that they cannot have the impulsion. They can touch, but no have the impulsion. And this rule cannot be applied because this is not a real impulsion. It's not a real advantage. This has made the rule subjective, and the standardization of the rule application has not occurred in different parts of the world. This harms the athlete who has already changed his technique to, yes, to have an advantage. If the rules say that he can touch, they changed the technique to do this. And they have, in my opinion, some advantage with this possibility of touch during the first turn. So if we don't must apply a rule, this rule is not applicable and should change or be extinguished. Like the case I cited of removing the t-shirt at finish a track race or after winning a field event, not apply the yellow card, for example. And I have many other rules that I really wanted to change.
I feel like we need to do another podcast just for rule changes, maybe, and go through a whole list. So just with all of your experience, and I'm going to throw in just one last question, which I know I didn't email you before, but I'd really love to know from your experience, if you could give one piece of advice to other officials, what would that advice be?
To peace, the respect.
Okay.
Respect is a word that is very, very important. If you respect the decision, if you respect the position, if you respect each other, you don't need to accept, but respect. Yeah. We will have a peace community, a better peace place to work and to live.
Absolutely agree. I think the sport definitely needs more respect as a whole. Thank you so much for your time. Absolutely fascinating to hear your journey. And also, I'd love to get in touch with you more about the movement that you're involved with and the report, because I think, sadly, there are other countries within the athletics world who also experience this abuse. So I'd be really keen to get in touch with you after this to find out more about that. Thank you so much for your time and preparing the answers, and absolutely love learning about your journey, and can't wait to get that up online to share your story with everyone else.
I think, like Vicky, I might be in touch as well, because I have some more questions about after everything that you've spoken about.
Thank you, Vic. Thank you, Leanne.